All right. Good morning, church. How's everybody doing this morning? Doing good? Good. It's Labor Day weekend. Who's excited? Wow. That's so sad. That's so not that excited. Okay. All right. Hey, good morning, everybody. My name's Pastor Joel. I'm one of the pastors here at the River Church. And we usually have, in this series, we've had Pastor Mike here with us. He gave me a call yesterday, said that Katie tested positive for COVID. So he gave me a call and was like, hey, I'm sorry. Can you preach for me tomorrow? I said, I got you. We would rather you stay home. And so anyway, so he would be here, but I'm going to be speaking with you today. And last time he asked me to speak, on a Saturday before a Sunday, he gave me his notes, and that worked out great. But where we are in the Luke series, I don't know if y'all have read ahead. I told him, hey, I don't want your notes. I was like, don't send me your notes. I feel like, Pastor, that'd be best for you to preach that sermon and maybe not me. So we're actually going to take a break from the Luke series, and I'm going to preach a sermon today called Inside Out. All right, you guys ready for that? Are we good? All right, let's get it. All right, I'm going to read from the book of Mark, okay? So we've been reading in the book of Luke. If you're familiar with the Synoptic Gospels, they're Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they all tell a similar story from different perspectives. So I'm actually going to be talking about a story in the book of Mark, and one cool thing about Mark is he's real detail-oriented. So there's some details in the story, and when we get into it, you may have heard the story before, but there may be some details you may have not heard because you haven't read it in Mark. So we're going to read it in Mark today, and I want you to follow along, all right? It's in Mark chapter 2, 1 through 12, and it starts like this. When he entered Capernaum, again after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many people gathered together that there was no more room, not even in the doorway. And he was speaking the message to them. And they came to him bringing a paralytic carried by four men. Since they were not able to bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above where he was. And when they had broken through, they lowered the mat on which the paralytic was lying. Seeing their faith, Jesus told the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." But some of the scribes were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does he speak like this? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And right away, Jesus understood in his spirit that they were thinking like this within themselves and said to them, why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and pick up your mat and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he told the paralytic, I tell you, get up, pick up your mat, and go home. Immediately he got up, picked up the mat, and went out in front of everyone. And as a result, they were all astounded and gave glory to God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this just amazing story. Of your son and God, what he did in this man's life. God, I pray, Lord, that this message speak to us today and that we leave and we allow it to change us this morning. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. All right, so let me start with this. First of all, if you're a visitor here, like I said, my name is Joel Libramento. I'm originally from the East Coast. Is there anybody East Coast people in here? I didn't think so. So I'm from the East Coast. I'm from a place called ATL, Hotlanta, home of the Braves and Coca-Cola. And there's this fast food chain that started out there that we're kind of proud of. It's kind of a big deal. It's called Chick-fil-A. Anybody heard of Chick-fil-A? Yeah. How many of y'all went to Chick-fil-A this week? Okay, yeah, a lot of y'all actually. Yeah, praise God. That's the Lord's chicken. So, you know, I love Chick-fil-A, right? And then I married a Texan, and I end up moving to Texas. And, man, I kept hearing of this burger joint out here, and everyone would say, yo, you got to go to Whataburger. And I said, that sounds disgusting. Whataburger, like, you talking like a soggy, wet Whataburger? That sounds so nasty. Until I went to the place and I realized it's spelled Whataburger, right? And so I was very confused, but I just thought to myself, man, that sounds disgusting. Went and ate it, fantastic. A little heavy on the onions and mustard, but it was really good. And if you've never had the cinnamon roll, You should go get one today. All right, they're open on Sunday. Awkward, I know, since I love Chick-fil-A so much. And you know, we're in God's country. Whataburger's amazing. There's another fast food chain that I've been introduced lately because I have a lot of friends who are moving here from the West Coast. Anybody from the West Coast? Oh, nah, okay, yeah. So a lot of our church, if you haven't noticed, very proud to be from the West Coast. We have a lot of folks in our church from California, from the West Coast, and they keep telling me about this burger joint that, you know, I'm kind of unfamiliar with, but they, you know, it started in Baldwin Park, California, right outside of LA, and it's called In-N-Out Burger. Anybody? Dang, okay, all right, some people like In-N-Out Burger. That's what's up. Yeah. I'm going to stop right there and just let you know where my priority lies. Chick-fil-A still on top. Although, I have been very impressed with In-N-Out. They have a genius business model. And their brand transparency is amazing. They're so clear. They want you to get in, and they want you to get out, right? I mean, they're very clear. They're like, hey, y'all come on in here, but then y'all get up out of here, you know? And I just appreciate that. I'm like, hey. And the next thing I really like about them is they have a very simple menu. Very simple. You can get a hamburger, you can get a cheeseburger, and you can get a double-double. And it's super simple. You know, it's not confusing. You don't go in and you can get tacos and a chicken sandwich and all that kind of stuff. You can, however, get your burger made animal style. The fries need some work, people. I'm not from the West Coast, but the fries need. Have any of you guys tasted a cardboard box before? The fries are bad. Like In-N-Out, you know, the Bible has a very simple message. It's not very confusing. It's very simple. It's not a confusing menu. In fact, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." To put it short, God sent his Son in to get us out. Amen? He sent his Son in to get us out. And today, I'm going to read a story about something that Jesus did that's amazing. And I get a little excited about this passage in Scripture. So y'all going to have to just excuse me because I get excited. And we're just going to kind of walk through it. And I'm going to kind of talk to you about kind of what's happening in this passage. All right. Take a look at verse 2. It says, "When he entered Capernaum, again after some days, it was reported that he was at home." That's a big deal. He's at the house. Jesus was very famous at this point. All right, not because he was wanting to be an influencer to be famous. It just happened because he was healing people and changing people's lives. So people were following him. When they heard that he was at the house, they went to the house, right? So many people gathered there that there was no room and not even in the doorway. Mark just wanted to specify that. He wanted to paint the picture. Yo, it was so packed, you couldn't even get through the door. Man, that's awesome. And then he said, and he was speaking the message to them. Now, imagine your house for a second. Just think about your house. Imagine if Jesus came to your house. All right, he showed up at your house, right? And people started showing up. If Jesus shows up at your house, think about your layout of your house. You're going to have unwanted guests showing up. You're going to have people you want there. You're going to have strangers showing up at your house. They're going to be looking through the windows trying to see Jesus. They're going to be sitting on your stairwell. They're going to be in the breakfast nook. You're going to have people everywhere. And they're not going to show up and be like, yo, it's packed out. You know what? I'm going home. Nah, they're going to be standing on your lawn. They're going to be everywhere. Do you understand? It is packed out. The house is packed out because wherever Jesus is exactly where I want to be. Amen? They see Jesus and he's doing some stuff. They want to see what's going on, and the house is packed. And then in the story, we see these four guys, these four friends, and they run up on a paralytic guy, all right, and he's on the mat, and they decide to carry this friend to Jesus. And I just imagine them looking at the dude going, hey, there's this guy at this house. Yo, we're going to take you to him because we believe that you can he can heal you. We believe this. And, you know, just to be honest, what's the paralytic man going to say? He ain't got no options. What's he going to say? I don't want to go. Okay, well, we're going to take you anyway, right? And so that's what they do. And so they pick the dude up. You can just picture them. They're carrying him. The Bible doesn't say just how far they have to go. I mean, this is the Middle East. It's hotter than a Texas summer. And they're just carrying this dude. Whew. Man. Bro, somebody going to meet Jesus today. Oh, my God. Bro, you are getting heavy. Look, I love you, but nobody loves you more than Jesus. And they're carrying this paralyzed guy to go see Jesus, right? And he's getting heavy, heavy. Have you ever carried somebody emotionally before? Have you ever had to carry somebody through a season in life that was difficult? Maybe a family member or a loved one, friend, something like that. It was heavy on you. Heavy on you. The thing is we weren't designed to do that. We're not designed to carry people that way. But if we can just get those people to Jesus, if we had the faith to say, you know what, if I can just get you to Jesus, he can change you. He can help your situation. He can heal you. If our faith could just lead us to that, he can carry them. He can help them. He can love them. We weren't designed to do that. And to be honest, I'm going to be completely transparent. Though I'm a pastor, we do pastoral counseling, but I am not much of a counselor. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not much of a counselor. I don't know if that's a calling necessarily. That's why I like to invite a lot of people to church, because I go, hey, I don't really know what to say. I'm going to love you. I'm going to be here with you. I'm going to walk this with you. But if you can just get in the presence of God in a room like this and you can experience Jesus in a way, I believe, I have the faith that God can do something in your life. Amen. I believe he can change you. And so these guys are carrying this guy and they turn the corner to the house and they see the house. And I just imagine one of them is like, whole going, yo, when did the service start? Like, we're late, man. This place is packed out. There's so many people over here. And they come and they set the guy down, right? And then they're trying to get in the house. And literally, they can't get in. It's packed out. They can't get to the door. And so the paralytic's there. He's just chilling. And the guys are like trying to get in the house. And they're like, man, I don't know. We got to wait till after service. What door is Jesus coming out? He coming out the front, the back side? I don't know where he's coming out. We're just going to wait. But there was one of the guys that was like this over in the corner, like, huh. He's like looking up. He's like, guys, I got an idea. And they're like, yeah, what's your idea? He's like, yo, let's put him on the roof. You know, what? Like, you got to, I mean, if a dude was like, hey, let's take the paralytic guy and put him on the roof, I would be like, yo, that's a crazy idea. That is wild. That is wild. We'll get to this in a minute, but isn't it interesting? The lengths at which these friends will go to help this guy, right? I mean, have you ever climbed on a roof before? It's not comfortable. It's not easy, right? Some of y'all are like, some of you guys, amen, I had to patch a roof last year, crazy. It's not easy. Then you got to carry a dude up on the roof? Crazy, not easy. So they get up on the roof, right? So you got the four guys and you got the paralytic man, they're up on the roof. And then even in the scripture, it says this. It says, since they were not able to bring him, Jesus, because of the crowd, they removed the roof above where he was. And I couldn't help but think, how did they know where above he, like where he was? How do we know we're above Jesus here? So I think they got on the ground, they're listening through the roof. Nah, he ain't right here. Let's check him. Nah, he wasn't right there. Hold on, what? Verily I say to you, thou wast not. Oh, that's it, right? That's him. How do you know that's him? He was speaking King James. Jesus speaks King James. That's him. He's right here. And then these four guys, in some translations, said they dug in the roof. They dug in the roof. I don't know if they brought tools, if they had a shovel, but man, they started digging through the roof, all right? It could have been like a thatch, clay roof. And they dig this hole. You can imagine Jesus is in there teaching, and then stuff starts falling from the roof. Like, what is going on? And then the hole opens up, and you see these four little heads pop out. One of them's like, Yo, Jesus, my bad. Like, I'm not trying to disrupt the service. Hey, but we got somebody for you. And so, you know, I'm thinking, Jesus is probably cool with it, you know? Like, he probably looked up and he's like, yo, this is awesome. Like, they're bringing this dude through the roof. This is kind of like what I did. I kind of made a hole from heaven and came down to help paralyzed humanity. Like, this is kind of like what I did. And so then what's great about it is that they lowered the guy down, right? So he's there just... It's like, what's up, y'all? Clearly, this wasn't my idea. I can't move, you know? So just gets on the floor. Those four guys are looking down like, hey, Jesus, do what you do, man. We've been hearing all these stories about all the healings and everything. Do what you do. Like, we're excited, man. Like, help this guy. Help this guy. And Jesus looks down at the paralytic, looks up at these four guys. Paralytic looks up at Jesus, looks up at his homies. Those guys are looking at the paralytic man, looking down at Jesus. And both the four guys and Jesus agree that this man's paralyzed, but they just don't agree on where he's paralyzed. Man always looks at the outside, but God looks at the heart. When Jesus looks down at this man, he doesn't just see a paralytic body as much as he sees a paralyzed soul. If he can do one thing, he wants to heal this man's soul. What would a loving God look like if he healed his physical body and not a soul, and this guy walked out never to be seen again? Whenever God wants to heal anybody, he always starts from the inside out. He starts from the inside and works his way out. And he does something incredibly shocking. He looks down at the paralyzed guy and he goes, your sins are forgiven. Like, what? Like, if you're those four guys, you're like, that's not what I expected. Your sins are forgiven. Like, come on, man. Like, he's paralyzed. You know, even if you're the paralyzed guy, you're like, thanks, Jesus. You know, like, what? Appreciate it. You know, like, what? This is not what we expected, right? These guys are all sweaty. What else, Jesus? What else? What else are you going to do for this guy? And the greatest miracle that could ever happen to you is not physical, it's spiritual. It's spiritual. The greatest miracle is not always being healed from cancer or blindness or paralyzation or anything. It's that your soul belongs to him. The greatest miracle that could ever happen to you is Jesus Christ becoming the Lord of your life, your Savior, and changing you from the inside out where your sins are no more. This is the greatest miracle. Amen? His sins are forgiven. And then in verse 6, and you'll learn if you read the Bible, there are these guys that follow Jesus around, Pharisees, Sadducees, the scribes. And in my own personal time, whenever I'm reading this, I just call them the haters. It says, but some of the scribes were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does he speak like this? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? They're thinking in their head, he can't do that. That's blasphemy. Like, God, only God can forgive sins. And the best part about it is they didn't even say that out loud. This is a very weird moment, okay? Very strange. It says they were thinking like this in their heart, and Jesus heard it. I mean, it would be as weird as if you were sitting here thinking to yourself, did I leave the garage door open before I came to church today? And I stopped what I'm doing and I said, yes, you did leave the garage door open this morning. I mean, it's that odd. It's that odd that Jesus like stops and goes, I know what you're thinking. I know what's in your heart, right? You would be freaked out, right? Am I not the only one? I feel like I would be freaked out. I'd be like, whoa, okay. And here's why it was such an issue, right? It says here, right away, Jesus understood in his spirit that they were thinking like this within themselves and said to them, why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and pick up your mat and walk? And part of this is because the Jews believe, and these Jewish leaders believe, that if somebody has a physical issue, it was because they were sinful. Okay, this is a cultural nuance that you have to know the culture to understand. So they look at this paralytic guy and they're like, Dude, he's probably lived a sinful life. This is why he's paralyzed, right? Which means that they think that he could not be healed because of his sin. And so Jesus is like looking at them and he's like, oh, so you don't think I can do that because he's still paralyzed. I'll be right back. And Jesus walks over to the guy. You see in the text, walks over to the paralytic and goes, pick up your mat and walk. Now, to me, I love this because I love Jesus, obviously, and this is just a bold power move. What he's teaching them is that he's saying, look, I have the power to forgive sins, but because you think he can't be forgiven of his sin because he's still paralyzed, you know what? I'm going to show you something. And he says, get up your mat and walk. Pick up your mat and walk. Oh, like if I'm in there, I'm like, get it. I'm like, man, that was fire. That was awesome. Like I'm hyped up. And in a way, the guy gets up and walks immediately, it says, right? And then everybody in the house freaks out. It literally, Mark outlined what they said, right? For us to be remembered, like for to be remembered for generations. It says, we have never seen this happen before. Like they were amazed. Like it was a party in that place, you know? But you know what was a bigger party? In heaven, because his soul was changed. Amen. I mean, they were hyped about the physical appearance, like, okay, this paralytic got up and walked. That's amazing. But heaven was rejoicing because this man's soul had been saved. His sins had been forgiven. And it was just an all-out party. God sent his son in to get us out. And so, when I think about this, it was... this man was brought in paralyzed, and then he walked out healed and free spiritually. There's multiple ways you can take that, that God sent his son in to get us out spiritually. He comes into our lives to get us out of our sin. He comes into this space from heaven so that we can have an everlasting life with him in heaven. He comes in to get us out, and he always starts with the inside out. And as the church, we've always, not always, but there's one way that we fail people a lot of times. We invite people into the church and we look at them on the outside and we say, you got to clean all that up before you can really know God. But God's going, no, 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 I got to clean what's up in here. And then that comes to the outside. God starts with the inside. And then there's something else that happens that I thought was interesting, is that these four guys... this is interesting to me because I don't know who you, like, whose story you connect with, but these four guys, God had done something in them. Their faith, it says, literally says, their faith had healed this man. Their desire and belief and faith in Jesus that he could do something drove them to love people, drove them outward. I think that's a powerful message because I feel like that when Jesus comes into your life, he turns your heart that's turned inward, outward. And that's just an amazing thing. So this morning, what I want to do is, just in conclusion, the band's going to come out here in a minute. But I want to talk to you a little bit about you and about kind of where you're at in your spiritual life. And I think there's probably three types of people that are in this room. There are some of us who are probably paralyzed in our life, paralyzed because we're stuck in a vicious cycle of sin, or you need Jesus, and you know who you are. And maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you're someone that's like, man, I need out. I need God to come in so I can get out of this. I'm stuck. There might be some people in here who are paralyzed by stuff. I don't know what it is. It could be fear, addiction. You could be paralyzed by what your friends think of you. You could be paralyzed by a toxic relationship or unforgiveness, anger, hate, poor self-image. I don't know what it is, but you could be paralyzed in a way where God wants to come in and get you out of that. And I believe that he does. I believe he wants that for you. And there may be a second group of people who you know Jesus, but you've let sin kind of paralyze you from being that world changer that he's calling you to be. You know you have a calling on your life. You know that God's saying, I'm calling you. I want you to make a difference in people's lives. I want you to be a world changer. I want you to come and work with me and let's do this. But sin has kind of come into your life and it's got you paralyzed. You're kind of stuck. I'm here. I just want to tell you this morning, God wants to free you from that. He wants to come into your life. He wants to free you and take that away. He wants you to be that world changer he's calling you to be. And the last thing is this. There might be a group of people in here who would say, I'm ready to bring people to Jesus, to bring people into his presence. I'm ready. And it says, seeing their faith. Jesus came in to get us out. Why? So we can be like the friends and bring others to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Those guys got uncomfortable. They did some things that was, they probably went out of the way to help this guy. We know they did. They went on the roof. And maybe God's calling you to do that. Maybe he's calling you to step out of what's normal for you into something that might be uncomfortable to help someone, to be that agent of change in their life, to be the one who goes, hey, Jesus can help you. Maybe you're that person and God's calling you to do that today. The band's coming out. We're going to have a time of worship, but also a time of response. We're going to open these altars. Pastor Darren's going to come up and lead us out here in a minute. I just want to encourage you. If you're somebody who's been stuck, you've been paralyzed, the presence of God is here. And Jesus can change you and transform you and he can heal you. We believe that here at the church. We want to see that for your life. If you're someone who has followed God and that sin's crept in and he wants to remove that, he wants to free you of that and you know it, he's got that finger on it, you know, today's for you. And if also you're that person who's like, I'm ready to take the next step. I feel God calling me to be like those four guys. I know who it is that I need to go get and bring to the into the presence of Jesus. I want you to pray for that person today, and I pray that the Holy Spirit motivates you that when you leave today, that you'll give them a call, that you'll text them, that you'll invite them. Amen? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the gospel. Thank you so much for when we are in your presence, we are changed. And I just pray for those of us in the room today, I pray, God, that you'll speak to our hearts, that you'll guide us, that you'll move us. We love you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.